And amen. Praise God. Go ahead and be seated if you would. Praise the Lord. When you came in this morning, you should have received a set of notes that is entitled Managing Life God's Way Part 5. And if you did not receive a set of notes that are Part 5 of Managing Life God's Way, if you lift up your hand real high, we'll make sure that you get a set of notes right now. It should say, all right, we do have some that did not get the set of notes. And so ushers are coming. Just leave your hands up. Praise God. Anybody else? You didn't get Managing Life God's Way Part 5 when you came in. All right? Glory to God. Now, it's been about 3 weeks since we talked about this subject. We've had some other things that we had to do. Pastor Phil was here and shared the Word of God. Pastor Phil Carey. Also last week, we had communion and also we did water baptism. A couple of people, three people, were water baptized last week. And so it's been about 3 weeks. And so I'm going to reiterate some things in a couple of minutes that we have already talked about. In order to build on that, I believe God is doing a work in our midst. Amen. I'll say that one more time because it wasn't very enthusiastic here, amen. I believe God is doing a work in our midst. Amen. Amen. I believe God is doing a work in our lives if we'll let Him. You know, one of the things that we've been sharing over the last several months is that God wants to do a shaking, that everything that can be shaken, according to Hebrews chapter 12, will be shaken so that only the things of the kingdom of God is going to remain. And you know what? That ought to be something as believers that we embrace because we want God to shake us as far as anything that is not of Him, to get it out of us as we submit ourselves to Him, as we draw near to Him. He promised that He would draw near to us. And so our drawing near, our pressing in to our relationship with God causes and really demands, and not that we're demanding of God, but it demands a response from God because He gave us a promise. And His promise was that as we draw near, He would respond by drawing near to us. Isn't that right? Amen. And so, you know, when we think about that and we really believe that, that should change our way of thinking. I mean, that should just inspire us and get us excited that God said in His Word that if we'll draw near, He's going to draw near as well. I mean, praise God. And so, you know, these are some of the things. God doing a shaking, us drawing near, that are things that I believe the Holy Spirit has been speaking to this congregation over the last several months. And this managing life God's way goes hand in hand with this. Because no matter what, we've got to say, God, not my will, but your will be done. No matter what, we've got to surrender. In fact, the first lesson or the first message on this series of managing life God's way had to deal with the need to surrender our lives to Him. What a great way to start off 2008 in dealing with our surrendering, our giving our lives up to Him. He that will lose his life for Jesus' sake will find what life is really about. Amen? Amen. And so let's go to our notes and let's see what the Lord has in store for us this morning. Praise God. Let's read the introduction, then we'll go to our opening text. The introduction. This morning we're on the fifth part of the series called Managing Life God's Way. The goal of this series is to help each of us arrange or align our lives. Arrange or align our lives to be in line with what God desires for each of us. So far, we have dealt with this. I already mentioned some of this, but that's all right. The need to surrender our lives to Him and to present our bodies a living sacrifice, as Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 say. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, presenting ourselves as vessels, as if you will, containers where God can fill us up and we can pour out on other people. Amen? You know, Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me, that we might live the Christ life, that people might experience Christ when they are around us, not for our glory, but for the glory of the one of whom we represent. Amen. I'm more stirred than you are, but that's why you came today. Amen. You need a little stirring today, I can tell. Praise God. But I really believe that God wants to do so much more, and the American church is in rough shape. The American church basically backslidden in many, many ways. I don't care, you know, what group or what affiliation, what denomination. Overall, the American church overall is in bad shape. You know, you watch Christian television, you realize, you know, there's a lot of hype, a lot of hoopla, but very little depth. And there's just and I don't mean to be judgmental in a condemning way, but we need to be judging or discerning so that we might be corrected and adjust ourselves with God's help so that we'll head in the right way. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? All right? I'm preaching too much. We're never going to get through these notes if I keep going here. All right? We're still in the introduction. Letter B. Things that we've already talked about, what the Bible has to say about being in God's will for you, or being God's will for you to reign as kings in life through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. Now, we talked about the dominion mandate. Everybody say dominion. Now, you know, I believe, taught this in a balanced way, that God has called us not to be like worms that are, stepped on and just barely getting along. You know, the kind of theology that has gone on for many centuries where people had the idea, that we're just poor old beggars just plodding along. And when we get to the end of our rope, we'll tie a knot and hang on until Jesus comes and rescues us out of here. How many of you know that's not God's plan for us? God's plan for us is to walk in victory. His plan for us is, as stated in Romans 5 and verse 17, to reign as kings in life, to take authority over life, over the enemy, to not be barely getting along in whatever area or facet we may be dealing with, but to be those that are living an abundant life. Not just talking about money. I'm talking about abundant life in relationships, abundant life in health, abundant life in every facet and realm of life. The thief comes, John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But so often we don't experience that abundant life. Now, we're not talking about the idea that we won't have trials. Trials come to everyone. Nobody wanted to say amen to that one. But trials come to everyone. But you know, the Bible does say what to do with those trials. And one of those things Jesus said in John's gospel, and it'll come to me in a minute. It's verse 33, John's gospel. And I'll get at the chapter in a couple of minutes. John, I believe it's chapter 14 and verse 33. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But he said, be of what? Of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And so he promised that we would have tribulation, but he said that if you'll be of good cheer, if you'll hang on to the joy that he has placed in us, then his overcoming will become yours, is certainly inferred there. Amen. And you know, really, resistance brings strength when we use what we know to use. And that's why it's so important that we fill up with the Word and we stay filled with the Spirit. Amen. Are you here? Did you go home? Are you still here in your mind, or are you somewhere else? All right, praise God. And so we talked about reigning as kings in life. Romans 5:17. This isn't something I made up. This is what the Bible says. Amen. And that's another thing that we've got to do. We've got to decide that even if it's contrary to our theology, if I see it in the Word of God, I'm going to throw out my theology and I'm going to embrace God's theology. Amen. I've had to do that a number of times. That's part of our growth in the Lord, really. Did you know that? At times, you know, we'll believe a certain way or along a certain vein, but then we'll realize, wait a minute, the Bible says this here and over there confirms it. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I guess I need to adjust my belief system here just a little bit. That's part of our growth process. And so that's normal. Praise God. Now, another thing, letter C, and this is where we're going to continue on from today. This is something we already spoke on. We're going to continue on it from today. How we need a consistent prayer life in order to manage our lives God's way. Would you open with me to our opening text, to Psalm 27? Everybody doing all right? Psalm 27. And while you're turning there, I'll just mention something I haven't mentioned in a while. You know, we, Psalm 27, opening text, a few years ago, the Lord really dealt with me strongly about discipling people. And I really felt like the Lord was speaking to my heart and saying, most people come Sunday morning, so you need to on purpose disciple people with the Word on Sunday mornings. Amen? A lot of times, you know, you don't get much on Sunday mornings in churches, and you know, it's a little bit shallow, it's a little bit wimpy as far as how much scripture we go to, how much word we go to, but we try to avoid that. We want to get the Word of God into people. And you know what? It doesn't matter if I'm the best orator in the world. It doesn't matter whether or not I can come off, you know, kind of with a lot of excitement. What matters is if you leave here knowing what was taught and you don't remember it by the time you get out the door, and you're able to get more excited about the Word of God and get it into your heart and begin to do it, and it changes your life. That's all that matters. Amen? Because half the time people might leave a church, and it might happen here. I pray it doesn't. They leave, somebody asks, how was the service? Oh, it's great. What did he teach you? Well, you know, I don't really remember. Of course, none of you ever had that. But you know, at least if you don't remember, you say, wait a minute, though, I got notes. Amen. So most of the time we provide you with those notes. Praise God. But, you know, these are just things. It's more important than anything else for you to get the Word in you. Amen? And someone said one time, and I think there's a lot of truth to it, it doesn't matter how many times you've been through the Bible, but how many times the Bible's been through you. That's what's going to make a difference, right? And so Psalm 27 and verse 11, 27 verse 11, notice what the psalmist David said, and we're going to just read the one verse. He says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." Now you notice what David said, teach me your way. Now this is in the form of a prayer, isn't it? And we want to talk about prayer a little bit more this morning. He prays and says, "Teach me, O Lord, your way. And direct my path," he says. Now, if you look up on the big screen, let's look at it. A couple other translations, Amplified. I hope you forgive me. I seem to use the Amplified a lot. It's good, though. He says this, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain and even path because of my enemies, those who lie in wait for me." The Message Bible, "Point me down your highway, God. Direct me along a well-lighted street. Show my enemies whose side you're on." I like that, don't you? Amen. All right. But you know, the whole point is that prayer is part of managing life God's way. Prayer is really in part just a direction, a guidance from God, knowing that He is not one who wants to be on the back burner where we have an attitude that we're going to just kind of rub that lamp when we're in trouble and have God pop up to rescue us. No, God wants to be an intimate and intricate part of every decision we make, everything we do. He wants to help us manage life His way. Amen? And so our prayer should be, "God, teach me your way." Our prayer should be, "Lead me in a plain and an even path." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I say every detail. I don't think God cares about every little detail. Some things He'll leave up to you. Amen? I got to admit, I didn't ask Him what tie to wear today. It matched the shirt the best, so I picked it. Amen? But I'm talking about the things that are important to you. And there are things that are important to you that you might not even think God be interested in. But if they're important to you, they're important to God. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. And so we want Him to teach us His way and direct our path. Now, let's go on here to Roman numeral number 2. And let's review a little bit, being it was 3 weeks ago, managing life with prayer. Roman numeral number 2, letter A, defining prayer. Prayer is enjoying communication, interaction and fellowship with the living God. Prayer, number 2, is an intimate walk with God. And there's many definitions for prayer. I will say this to you, though, that you'll never get a revelation of prayer until you pray. You will never get excited about prayer until you begin to pray on a consistent basis. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? Some people, they're waiting to get excited about praying. Let me submit this thought to you. Forget about it. You'll never get excited about praying before you pray. You're thinking, right? You're not bored. You're thinking, right? I guarantee you that that's the truth, because prayer is exercise. It's kind of like this. Everybody, it's kind of like physical exercise. Everybody knows they need to do it, but nobody ever does. Or at least it doesn't happen as often as we think. Amen? Yes. We buy the equipment. We have good intentions, especially first of the year. I mean, we make that New Year's resolution thing. I'm going to exercise this year. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that and the other thing. We know we should, but oftentimes we don't. And the same thing applies, because prayer is exercise. It's spiritual exercise. We know we should, but oftentimes we don't. Right? All right. And none of us, let me just say this to you, none of us pray as much as we should, probably. All right, so don't get under condemnation. Condemnation is not good motivation. Condemnation will cause you to just give up. No, if you are receiving condemnation, then you take that as being from the enemy, because he certainly doesn't want us to pray. All right, now letter B, under Roman numeral number 2, reasons to have a consistent prayer life. This is review. Number 1, our first motivation in prayer is because we love God. Everybody say, "I love God." Would you go with me? The scripture's not there, but I want to give it to you. You're right there in Psalm anyway. Look at Psalm 91, if you don't mind. Psalm 91. Are you receiving something from this so far? How many of you love the 91st Psalm? Amen. Psalm 91. It's not in your notes. You might just want to write it down there with them. But in Psalm 91, let's start with verse 1. We're going to work our way down just a little bit. And I don't panic. Don't get concerned. You know I always let you out on time. I might even let you out on, early today. Who knows? Some of you snickered at that comment. Huh? All right. Verse 1, Psalm 91. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now that deals with protection, deals with, you know, our communion with the Lord, really. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now there's a condition on that, that we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and we're under the shadow of the Almighty. For them that do that, that abide in Christ, that fellowship with Him, there is the opportunity here to have God as your refuge and your fortress. He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Verse 4, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of terrorists. Well, it includes them, wouldn't it? You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. You know, no matter what pestilence, you don't have to be afraid. When you're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty, and dwelling in His presence, you don't have to be afraid of AIDS. You don't have to be afraid of MRSA. You don't have to be afraid of some new kind of flu that's supposed to wipe out half the world. You understand what I'm saying to you? And it goes on, it says in verse 6, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste in noonday, at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not. Everybody say, shall not. Come near me. Now the condition is that we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. That means that we're in communion with the Lord. That we have a consistent time, a prayer, a dialogue with God. Not just a monologue where you do all the talking. We're talking about a communion with God. That is part of what it's referring to in this. Amen? Because one of the things that that does is it strengthens you, but it also causes you to be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Ghost. And so if the terror comes, if the pestilence comes, or whatever, man, you're sensitive. You know where to move, what to do. You're full of faith because faith is built up and strengthened by our prayer life, as well as it coming and being strengthened by the hearing of the word. Isn't that right? All right. And so going on with this, let's skip it because I'll spend too much time. This could be a series just teaching through Psalm 91, and we don't want to do that. But notice now in verse 14, I know I skipped some good scriptures, but we have to for time's sake. But notice verse 14, because He, that's one what? That dwells in the secret place of Most High and abides under the shadow of the Almighty, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Notice, he shall call upon me. What's that talking about? It's talking about prayer. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I tell you, I love Psalm 91. And the condition, and as we mean it, that doesn't mean we have to be perfect. But if we're heading that way, we're doing what we know to do, to abide in His presence, to spend time consistently with the Lord, to be in tune with Him, from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, as we attempt to draw near to Him, and we've set our love upon Him, not other things at the expense of Him, but our love is on Him first and foremost. As we do, we can expect that when we call upon Him, He'll answer us and deliver us from our trouble.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Now again, it doesn't say that we won't have trouble. In fact, it basically says we will have trouble. But it does say that He'll deliver us because we'll call on Him, and because we've been abiding, and because we've been spending time listening. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know, I know that that's something that we develop. That's something that we learn to do. And that's all right. God understands that. You know, because I can sense that probably half the folks here, maybe more, are thinking, man, I don't do that. I'm in trouble, you know, at things. Well, none of us do it like we should. But God, who knows our hearts, will help us and energize us and strengthen us and get us going if we'll step out in faith. Again, I refer back to, and you're tired of hearing it maybe, but James 4:7, draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. The idea is we initiate. He doesn't say He'll draw near to us and we draw near to Him. It says, you draw near to Him, He'll respond. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're the ones that act first. And if we will, He'll respond. Amen? Are you doing all right this morning? All right. Let's go on with this and see how much we can get done with this. Praise God. Notice again, reasons to have a consistent prayer life. Number one, our first motivation in prayer is because we love God. Number two, we should pray because God commands us to pray. Number three, if Jesus needed to pray, we certainly do. Number four, the early church was a praying church, and they saw great and wondrous things, did they not? Under number four, lowercase a, prayer is a vital part of keeping the church full of life here on earth. And lowercase b, supernatural ministry comes only as a result of a lifestyle of prayer. Now, we talked about some of the benefits of prayer. And if you look up on the big screen, we're going to review them real quickly here. Number one, prayer reminds us that we need God. Two, prayer helps us hear from God and receive guidance from the Holy Spirit. Scriptures for all of it. It could be more scriptures. Number three, prayer strengthens us for continual and effective service to the Lord. Number four, prayer helps us stay joyful in the midst of contrary circumstances. If we're not experiencing joy, if we're not walking in the joy of the Lord, and this isn't, again, to condemn, but this is something to consider, and I have to consider it. I have to think, I have to look at that, because I don't always walk in the joy of the Lord. If I listen to too much of the bad news, I can have joy not stolen from me as far as ripped out of me. It's in there, but it gets suppressed. You understand what I'm saying? So we all need to guard that joy. It says in this again, where was it? Number five, thank you. Somebody's paying attention, I'm testing you. All right, number five, prayer keeps us in the peace of God and gives us power over worry and fear. So if you're worried, you haven't been praying, or at least enough, right? How many of you ever been praying and you had a concern about something? Some of you started praying. You prayed with your understanding. You prayed everything you knew to pray. You prayed in the Spirit. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, pray in tongues. How many of you, in the process of that prayer, how many of you just felt that worry depart? That fear just left. Why is that? Because now you know you obeyed the Word. You've got faith in the Word. And you know now you've done what you know to do, and it's in God's hands. Amen. Amen? All right? And so we've experienced that. The peace of God. Prayer keeps us in the peace of God and gives us power over worry and fear. Number six, prayer gives us victory over our troubles. Scripture for it, Psalm 34, 6. Seven, prayer guards the church from weapons formed against it. Eight, prayer helps maintain love and unity among church members. Amen. And so again, you know, come out Tuesday nights, pray with us. We're going to try to have united prayer for 3 or 4 days a week, maybe quarterly, every quarter. So we did it back in January. We need to do it more this year, don't you think? Glorious time, because a praying church is a powerful church. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at some more great benefits of prayer. We're not going to take a lot of time, but notice now, letter A. Are you with me? Roman numeral number 3, letter A. Are you with me? More great benefits of prayer. A is prayer keeps us spiritually fit and alert. Everybody say alert. All right, keeps us spiritually fit and alert. We won't turn there, but in Matthew 26, 41, Jesus said to his disciples, could you not tarry for 1 hour? Pray and watch that you enter not into temptation. Amen? And so a consistent prayer life is going to help you not even to enter into temptation. Consistent prayer life is going to help you not even to be tempted with sin. You know, I've never known anybody yet that read their Bible and prayed every day that backslid away from God. I just don't believe it can happen. If you read your Bible and pray every day, I don't think you can backslid away from God. And I submit to you that the Bible declares to us in the last times, in the last days, people will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen? And so we need to be aware that in the last days, it's prophesied, it is said by God, that there will be departure from the faith. Prodigals will increase. People will turn away, apostasy, all these kinds of things. But you know what? If you're in the Word, you've got the remedy. Amen. You don't have to be afraid. We know how to not be those that turn back. Amen. How? Stay in the Word and have communion with God every day. Amen. And we won't turn back. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is better preaching than you look, but that's all right. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. In fact, don't go there yet. We're going to go there later because we're going to save time by not going there right now. Letter B, more great benefits of prayer. First one was prayer keeps us spiritually fit and alert. Letter B, prayer is part of the process to help us take on the image of Christ. The image of Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Roman numeral number 3, letter B again. I'm going to say it while you're turning there. Prayer is part of the process to help us take on the image of Christ. We're talking about growth there, aren't we? We're talking about growing. Now, Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, great preacher many, many years ago, centuries ago, a couple centuries ago, he said this, all Christian virtues are locked up if I can read my writing, in the word prayer. I'll say it again. All Christian virtues are locked up in the word prayer. Notice what R.A. Torrey said. He said this, I love this, your growth and mine into the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be in exact proportion to the time and to the heart we put into prayer. And so again, we're talking about becoming more like Christ in our lifestyle, in our lives. Now notice now, we don't often read this passage with that in mind, but look at this just for a moment. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Paul is speaking by the Spirit of God, and he says this. He says, likewise the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Likewise the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Now, this may not be exclusively what he's referring to, but one weakness is certainly not knowing how to pray as we ought. Isn't that right? And so the Holy Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Has anybody here ever had a problem or known of a situation and you did not know how to pray for it? I'm surprised. I thought everybody's hand go up. All right. Out of those that didn't raise their hand, how many of you are listening to me this morning at all? No one. That's what I thought. All right. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now that has to do with sounds that are made that cannot be made with articulate speech. Now I believe that includes praying in the Spirit, other tongues, and what have you, with groanings which cannot be uttered with articulate speech, and that kind of thing. The Holy Spirit will help us to pray. Now going on, now connect these verses. Now he who searches the hearts, verse 27, knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So if this indeed, these groanings that the Holy Spirit helps us with in prayer, helps us to pray for things when we don't know how to pray, if indeed that includes praying in our spiritual language or other tongues, then he is saying here also that when we pray in tongues, we're always praying according to the will of God, aren't we? Anything the Holy Ghost inspires, we'd automatically think it must be the will of God, because He's God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. Sometimes we take that out of context, but He's referring to when we pray and when we let the Holy Spirit help us pray. He's talking about when we don't know how to pray for things as we ought, and we do pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then He says, and we know that all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And so really, we cannot take that out of its context and say that in kind of a defeated way. I hear it so often. Well, you know, God will cause all things to work out for the good. No, He's talking about in the context of prayer. If we'll pray, if we'll intercede, if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to intercede through us and empower us and enable us, then we know that God will cause all things to work out for the good for those that are called in Christ Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That was worth coming from for already. Amen. Now going on now. He continues now. For whom? Now he hasn't changed the thought. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. You know, I had a discussion. I get on too many rabbit trails. We're not going there right now. But just remember that he only predestines what he already foreknew. And his foreknowledge does not determine whether people go to heaven or hell or anything like that. People talk about predestination. Some people predestined to go to hell. Some people predestined to go to heaven. That's hogwash. Don't even believe it for one second. God does foreknow, though, who will be destined to hell or to heaven, but His foreknowledge does not make that determination. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right? Because predestination is always within the context of foreknowledge. He can't help but know things. He's God. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now notice now what it's saying here in the context of this, and I submit this thought to you, that as we pray, as we commune with God, as we allow the Holy Spirit to intercede through us, we pray for things in this context, things we don't know about, things we don't know how to pray for. As we do that, there is a conforming, because those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Amen. There's a connection between praying and being conformed to the image of his son. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you today? And so prayer is a vital part of taking on more and more of the image of Christ. Now, in your spirit, You understand that you're spirit, soul, and body. Most of us understand that. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23 says, Paul says, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Amen? I know I'm talking fast, but I got to talk fast because I haven't even got very far at all so far. But spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. So man is a tripartite being. In other words, there's three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. In your spirit, that part of you that is born again, that part of you that's a new creature, you're already created in the image of God. Isn't that good news? And really, Ephesians chapter 4 and about verse 23 says that. It tells us that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And it talks about put on the new man, which is really already put on the new man, which is created in God in Christ Jesus according to his likeness. I can't quote it right now. I got too many things on my mind. But it says basically that our spirit man, the new man, is created in God's image. But you need to bring it out. And praying will help bring that image out where we'll grow and become more like him on the outside. Is everybody doing all right?
Amen.
All right. All right. Now going on with this. How many of you have ever spent time in prayer? I'll just say this and then we'll go on. I remember years ago, there was a guy I was trying to minister to and I was getting so frustrated. This guy had demons, I'm telling you. I'm serious, though. He did. And I was trying to minister to him and I was just getting worn out. And the flesh was getting worn out. I was getting worn out. And I just separated myself, and I went and I just prayed for a while. And I prayed in my understanding. I prayed, help God. How many of you know that's a great prayer? Help. And, you know, I prayed in the spirit and all that. And, you know, I just sensed a renewed sense of love and compassion for that guy. And I went back out there and felt more strength and was able to minister to him more effectively and all that kind of thing. Why? Because when I went back and prayed, I was able to get out of the flesh and begin to operate more in the image of Christ and come out there more in the compassion of Christ. Amen. Amen. There's something about that that'll help us. Praise God. Now, going on with this now, let's read on. Is everybody still doing all right? Letter C. Prayer is one of God's foremost ways for us to obtain our spiritual and material desires. Letter D. Prayer unleashes the power of God. It says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. Is anybody listening to me this morning? Are you sleeping? I'm on E. Thank you. I forgot. Praise God. Letter E. Before we go there, before we read it, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's start with verse 6, if you don't mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. It says this, I planted, that's Paul speaking, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. Everybody say fellow worker. Say
I'm God's fellow
worker. So what's that mean? That means we're working with him and he's working with us. Isn't that right? Notice Paul said, I sowed, Apollos watered, and God gave increase, right? And so we're working together. We're co-laborers together with the Lord. And so again, it says this concerning this, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Now go to 2 Corinthians. It's in your notes. The reference is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Begin with verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says this, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver. I always love that passage. God has delivered me. God is in the process of delivering me, and God will still yet in the future deliver me. Amen. And then notice now, you also, he's speaking to the Corinthians, you also helping together in prayer for us. that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. But notice now, you helping together in prayer. For what? For deliverance for someone else. How many of you know prayer is a great help? Prayer, some people think, well, you know, I'm not helping in the church. You are if you're praying. Some people might think, well, you know, I just don't know what I can do. I don't know what I can do. I don't have any talents. I don't have any skills. Well, you know what? Maybe you haven't discovered them now, but you do have some. But you know what? If nothing else, you can certainly pray. And prayer is a definite help. Now, going on with this letter E then, prayer is one of the ways we become co-laborers or co-workers with God. You are co-working with God. You are working together. Because as you pray, God goes to work doing whatever it is. If you're praying in faith and according to the Word of God, God acts, doesn't He?
Yes, amen.
One of the essential ways of us co-working, co-laboring together with God. Now, there are different types of prayer. Ephesians 6:18, we're not going to turn to that, but if you look up on the big screen, I want to show you some things here. Notice what it says from Ephesians 6:18, the Amplified Bible. Remember the title of Roman numeral number 4. There are different types of prayer. Pray at all times, it says, on every occasion and every season in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer. Now, that could have said all types of prayer, all kinds of prayer, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Let's look at the next frame. All right, this is from the Phillips New Testament. It says, pray at all times with every kind of spiritual prayer, keeping alert and persistent as you pray for all Christ's men and women. And so there are different kinds of prayer. And in the remaining bit of time that I have here, I want to look at some of these different kinds. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4. Talking about managing life God's way. One of the essential ingredients is a consistent life of prayer. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start reading verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Amplified says something like, don't worry, be fretful about anything. How many of you know it's a sin to worry?
Amen.
That sometimes sounds harsh to people. Oh, but, you know, because you might have been raised to think, you know, if you don't worry, man, you don't care. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, raised with the mentality that, you know, if worry is a sign that you really care about somebody. But no, worry is a sign that you don't trust God. And so we need to fight worry, don't we? I'm not saying, you know, we all get tempted to worry. We all probably fall into worry at one time or another. But you know what? We need to know that we don't need to worry. We need to know that God desires that we be anxious for nothing. That we don't have anxiety or be fretful about anything. Remember that the next time you hear the bad news on television. You remember the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. And notice what the remedy is. We talked about it earlier, but we're reading it now and looking at it in another context for another purpose. Notice what it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Here's the remedy. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You can't even figure it out. How do I walk in such peace? It's beyond my understanding. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All right? Now, go back to your notes now. If you don't mind, notice now, letter A, different kinds of prayer. Letter A, prayer of petition or request for yourself. It says that instead of being anxious or fearful, it says what? It says to pray. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. All right? So, let's talk a little bit here about this prayer now. Number one, basic guidelines for prayers of request. A lot of times now, we think every time we hear the word prayer, we're thinking we're talking about asking for something, but not every kind of prayer has to do with asking for something. And if it is, if every time we pray we're asking God for something, then really we're not communicating. And you've heard the scenario. What if your kids only came up and showed any interest in you when they wanted something from you? Well, you wouldn't be so inclined to give it to them, would you? Right? Is anybody here? You know, even, again, I'll say I haven't said it in a while, I guess. Even if you have to fake it, though, look enthusiastic. It really helped me. Basic guidelines for prayer. This would include, and we'll get to it a little bit, intercession and the prayer of agreement. Any kind of requesting prayer. Intercession is praying for someone else, as opposed to praying for ourselves, as this letter A is. Praying for someone else, intercession. And then prayer of agreement is praying together with someone in order to get a result, whether for someone else or for them or whatever the case may be. But look at these basic guidelines. Letter A, lowercase a, bottom of page one. We must always pray according to the Word of God. Now, I know that sometimes we think, well, that's kind of a no-brainer. We're all aware of that. We always need to pray according to the Word of God. But I get amazed when I listen to people pray sometimes. And they pray, and I think to myself, now, where's that in the Bible? How many of you know you need to have Scripture to back up whatever you're praying for? The Word of God is the will of God. If you're going to get results in prayer, you've got to pray according to what you know God's will is, and His will is found in His Word. And so it goes without saying really then, the thing after that, number one, our first step then is to find scriptures to base our prayers on, right? Yep. Now in John 15:7, we're not going to take time to turn there, but it says that Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. But he gives a condition. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will. Why? Because the more his word abides in you, the more when you pray, you'll be praying according to His will. Your will and His will be merged together. You'll pray what you will because your will and His will has been merged. His word's abiding in you. Isn't that right? So you can't just pray anything you want to pray. And a lot of times, people have gotten the idea, well, I'm going to pray, I'll give you some examples. Is that all right? I heard one example of a young lady that saw this guy in church and thought, man, he's a handsome guy. I almost said handsome devil, but you don't find those in church. But this one girl saw this handsome guy in church and thought, man, he's a handsome fella. I'm going to pray that I marry that guy. How many of you know that's on Scripture? You can't pray that. Amen. Some of you are really discouraged right now. Turned out that particular guy who she saw and thought, well, I'm going to pray that I get married to him, that he, you know what? Turns out he was married, had 3 or 4 kids. I don't think that would have been the will of God. Amen? No, what would we pray? If we need a spouse, we ought to just pray, God, thank you for sending the right person to me because your word says in Proverbs, don't have the exact verse because I wasn't planning on getting into this. He said, he that finds a wife, and it would apply to a husband as well for ladies, that God is not prejudiced. Amen? But he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. So, Father, we know in Hebrews, I think it's the 13th chapter, I know it is, it says, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. So, God, I know that you will, that I get married. Thank you for sending the right one across my path and helping me know when that right one is or who that right one is. Amen. Amen. And then just live for God. Don't live looking all the time because you'll miss it. You'll miss it every time. Your emotions can be a counterfeit Holy Spirit. And your emotions get all worked up, you know, your liver quivers and your heart flutters. And you think he or she, they've got to be the one, man. And you marry the ideal individual, you end up with the real. And you find out, man, the man leaves his whiskers in the sink and throws his underwear everywhere. And you think, he's handsome, but he's a slob. Hey, amen. You never know what you'll say under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Anyway. No, you just believe God for the right one. Amen. You know, I was almost 29 years old when I got married. And you know, I don't say this very often, and I don't condone it necessarily, but when you know, you know. And I only knew my wife for 13 days after she married me, and she said yes, much to my surprise. Amen. We must have done something right, because in September we celebrate 19 years of marriage, and she hadn't killed me yet. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Amen. But you see, you know, we get in such a hurry, young people or older people that aren't married, whatever, but you know, just trust God. Live for God. Go after God. And on your way going after God, you'll meet somebody else going after God. And you'll find out God wants you together. And you go after God together. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. Don't get caught up seeking a relationship with somebody. Get caught up seeking a relationship with Him. He'll take care of the rest. Amen. Now, why on earth am I on that subject? I don't know. Praise God. Somebody might have needed that today. Amen. Anyway, you've got to pray according to the Word. Everybody say the Word. Letter B, we must know we are righteous in God's eyes. We must know that we are righteous in God's eyes. This is basic guidelines for prayer. You've got to know that you're in right standing with God in order to pray effectively. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I'm at the bottom of page 1. Are you there? You got it on your page, don't you? All right. 2 Corinthians, I hear you're in a hurry to get page 2. I can hear those pages flipping over. You're looking to see how much more does he got. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? And so he who knew no sin, Christ, became sin for us that we might have his righteousness, his right standing with God, the ability to stand before God without any sense of guilt or condemnation or inferiority. He's given us his right standing with God. He took our guilt. He's given us his right standing. Isn't that amazing? Now notice on the big screen, I think it's up there. Let's look at the next frame. Notice what James 5:16 says from the Amplified. It says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Notice the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer, of a righteous man. Everybody say a righteous man. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. You know, it wasn't an accident that God put righteous man up there in that word. Why? Because when we know our standing with God, we can pray in faith. When we know our standing with God, we can pray expecting, can't we? Amen. Look at the next frame. Let's look at some righteous scriptures for prayer. Notice what Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright or the righteous is his delight. It's amazing how many scriptures there are. I couldn't give you all of them. But there are so many scriptures that connect righteousness with prayer. We need to know that we are in right standing with God and get away from and rebuke any thoughts of inferiority. The enemy wants to attack our minds, begin to remind you of sins that were gone and washed by the blood years ago and get you to doubt your right standing with God. It takes righteousness understanding, righteousness consciousness in order for us to pray boldly and in faith and expect God to bring the answer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not talking about arrogance now. I'm talking about knowing that we're righteous because of the grace of Almighty God. Let's go to the next page. Everybody said hallelujah. You said that with a little too much exuberance. Hallelujah. Talking about guidelines for prayers of request. When we have the Word of God and know who we are in Christ, then we can pray in faith, right? Everybody say faith. Now Mark 11:24 says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. Everybody say believe. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. Amen. And then Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Letter D, Jesus made it clear. In fact, we probably should go there. Go to John chapter 16. I'm getting ready to end. I'm not going to take a lot longer here. Praise God. John chapter 16, just bear with me. I only get a shot at most of you once a week. John chapter 16. Remember, we don't do sermonettes because they make Christianettes. We want you to be strong. Amen? John chapter 16. Notice what Jesus said, and it was Jesus. Jesus said it. Must be true. Verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. That's the day we're living in. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Well, there's our scripture telling us that prayer will cause us to walk in joy, right? But notice now, Jesus made it clear we're to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And so if you're asking for something, is it scriptural? Now some people think, well, this is nitpicking. Well, it's not really. Because it's scriptural. We want to stay scriptural. I hear people pray all the time. Not necessarily here, so don't think about here. But I'm in other places. I'm at Christian schools and things like that, you know, for my kids and what have you. I hear people pray all the time. Oh, Jesus, help us. Jesus, we pray that you would intervene on our... How many of you know Jesus said in that day, you'll ask the Father in his name? Didn't say to pray to Jesus. Should we ever talk to Jesus? Absolutely. But we're talking about prayers of request. And the point is this, Jesus shed his blood to give us the right, to give us the ability to come boldly straight to the Father God. And we don't want to diminish that in any way. We want to go to the Father, call him Father, talk to the Father. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We want to be as scriptural as we can. Is that nitpicking? I don't think so. I think it's just obeying God. It's not that hard to do. I have to get on my kids every once in a while because they'll pray, Lord. I say, don't pray to the Lord, pray to the Father. I want them to get a revelation that he's your spiritual daddy. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, yes, he's Lord. Jesus is Lord. And to a certain extent, we can say Father is. But I want them to get a revelation. They're praying to their Father. They're praying to their spiritual Abba Father. And when we say Father, we're denoting compassion. We're denoting He loves us. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? It wasn't a mistake that Jesus said, pray to the Father in my name and He'll give it to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, letter E. During times of prayer, there are times when we direct our voices no longer to God in prayer, but toward the enemy, Satan and his works, with words of authority. You know, I prayed for my daughter today because she wasn't feeling good. And so I just prayed basically like this. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. This is basically, this is the gist of it. Father, I thank you that your word says, see, I speak the word. You know, she's not feeling good. And so I use Pat as an example. You don't look anything like my daughter. Thank God for her. Yeah. But she wasn't feeling good. So I laid hands on her this morning. I said, Father, I thank you. See, I spoke the word. I said, Father, I thank you that your word says, surely he's borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases. With his stripes we're healed. Your word says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Deuteronomy 28 says that the curse of the law includes every manner of sickness and disease. So I declare my daughter is redeemed by the blood out of this curse of sickness and disease. And so as Jesus rebuked the fever in Peter's mother-in-law, I rebuke. Now I'm commanding, aren't I? Now I'm taking authority. And I rebuke that sickness. I rebuke that stuffy nose. I rebuke that sore throat in the name of Jesus. And I commanded to loose my daughter and let her go in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Now when I'm rebuking, I'm not really praying, but I'm taking authority. Isn't that right? And it's combined together. Now think about this, and I'm going to close in a minute because I can see you need me to. We'll finish this up next week, God willing. But you know what? I think about this. It says in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, we read verse 24 where it says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, you shall have it. But it said previous to that, it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. I don't have to turn there, do I? You know the scripture. You look it up. But he said, prior to referring to prayer, he says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now, that's not prayer. That's taking authority, isn't it? He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he says. Then he said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have. And so what's he say? He says, speak to the mountain and pray and believe God for the answer. And so there's a coupling together, joining together of both taking authority over the enemy, the sickness, the poverty, whatever it is, taking authority over whatever, the mountain, whatever that mountain is to you, taking authority over that and praying and believing God and speaking the word of God. Amen? Amen. We're talking about praying with prayers of request. Hallelujah. And then, you know, next time we're going to talk about some of these other things. So we'll pick up from there because we're going to close. Amen. Would you stand with me? And if the worship team would come, praise God. I did get done early, didn't I? I did that just to fool you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we just love you so much. If you can, would you lift your hands with me? And let's just pour out our hearts to the Lord for a minute here. Father, we just love you so much. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word. Your word is alive and powerful. Your word is alive and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, your word says. Oh, Father God, your word is alive. Father, I thank you for it living in our hearts. Your word told us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, Father. And so, Father, I pray the word spoken today would dwell in us richly, that your Holy Spirit would bring it to our remembrance, Father God. I pray, Father God, that people would be inspired to begin to pray. And as they pray, there would be an increase in desire. I pray that we would not pray religious kind of empty prayer, but that we would learn to pray living, life-giving, prayer that has power, Father God, because we're communing with a God who is alive. I pray, Father God, that this congregation, including myself, would get a greater revelation of prayer and the power of it and the joy of it and just the beauty of prayer and communion with a living God, a living Savior. Oh, Father God, we just thank you for helping us. Teaching us your way, that our path might be lighted, Father God, that we might walk along a lighted path. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We love you. Let's just worship God for a moment. Praise God. Let's just worship God for a moment. What's ever on your heart, Pat?